Good day, my friends. Good day. Day 6 of 7. Your podcast host is one consistent mother lover. And I'm pumped up to deliver this message to you. We're coming in from the questions, from the responses. I hope you've enjoyed this series. If you're listening to it at some other point in the year or in the month or in the days ahead, we are in a 7-day series of J.A., your host, answering questions that he posed on his Instagram. Instagram has the ability to have creatives and users like ask a question to their audience, and their audience is able to type in something. So we've had the past 5 episodes have been answers to those questions. In my own opinion, some of them have been very personal. Some of them have been, just from my heart. I mean, when I think about it, like all of them. Because like I've said on other episodes, when someone asks you a question, if you really are an authentic person, you can only speak from your own heart and experience. That's how the thing works. Today is a unique episode in the sense where the response was, if I could, I'll just read it for you, friends. Hold on a second here. It's a scriptural reference from the Bible, from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Matthew. There's a parable that Jesus talks about, and the parable is noted as the parable of the talents. So the response is, and again, I think I wrote, if you could tell a podcaster talk about anything for next episode, what would it be? And this person wrote, the parable of the talents from the book of Matthew. It literally opened up my eyes. So on today's episode, my friends, I just want to read that parable. It's not long. And then I want to get right into it and offer you my perspective that I'm almost positive will be different from the way you will interpret it. So let me get right to it. I want to keep this episode, you know, within time frame. There's so much I'd love to tell you, but let's get right into it, guys. So the parable goes like this. Actually, it's like 2 paragraphs, so stay with me. The parable of the talents. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents. Now, I want you to see talents, guys, just to pause real quick. Talents is like money, right? See talents as like bags of gold, right? So back then, I mean, this is the English word that gets translated, you know, from the Greek and from the Aramaic, but talents means like, let's say like 10 years of like wages, you know? So for us, if you made 50 grand a year, like 500 grand, right? So 5 talents, right? So it'd be like, whatever, just a shit ton of money, right? The more talents you have. All right, so let me just start again real quick. For it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, for to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Parable ends. I hope, I'm not going to read that twice. I'm just going to read it once. But I hope you got it, right? If it was your first time hearing this parable, and if you are familiar with it, or maybe that's your, several times you've heard it or whatnot, wherever you stand with it, maybe you're into the faith, maybe you're not. But the parable is a teaching, right? It's given by Jesus. And so I want you to envision these stories that were copied, 100 years after they were said, just being heard by somebody. And when they were first said, they were spoken like campfire vibes, just recited over and over again. And then 50, 100 years later, somebody writes them down, they get translated. I just tell you all that because I just want you to envision somebody telling this parable to a group of people. The person saying the parable is Jesus, and this is in the year one, literally, like one of the first, we're in 2024, so just picture like year one. Think about what the world was like, right? Somewhere around Israel of today, this happening, right? And just picture like mountains and smelly people and long beards and sandals and robes and Jewish people and scribes and no deodorant. And he's just telling this story to very, very poor people who are under Roman law because Rome rules the world. And this person telling the story is well aware of his death coming imminent because this is Matthew 25. And so he's only a few weeks away from dying, and he's giving this story to people who are literally in poverty. And when you read this story from a Western mindset, from a capitalistic mindset, you would think that Jesus is talking about you need to go make more money. You need to go with what I give you and multiply it. You need to go and do more with everything I've given you. But guys, please understand that even if these people here in this parable wanted to do that, they couldn't. They don't live in America. It's not the 21st century. It's not who the story's for. They would have been heartbroken if that was the truth of this parable. They would have been like, what? Like, fuck, I don't even have any money. How would I? That message wouldn't apply to them. And that's a misinterpretation of this parable, to think that we need to go with what God gives us and the money he gives us and go multiply it. And if we don't do that, then we get cast out where there's gnashing of teeth. It's just a capitalistic understanding. And if it helps you to understand it like that and it fuels a fire in you, then sure, God's word has many meanings. And I'm totally confident that understanding of the parable is preached all over the world, and it helps people to get off their ass and do shit with what God gives them. But in my own opinion, it's not the way Jesus intended it, because it wasn't the way it would have been understood by the audience that was standing in front of him. There would have been no way for these poor people to make any money because they had no money to make money with. And people didn't just bless them, right? People didn't just give money. Imagine having a 90% tax on everything you make. Yeah, that's what they had. They were just looking for hope. And here was this Jesus performing miracles. They weren't looking for financial advice. A lot of them were born into jobs that they just were in their family. You couldn't just go find a job, guys. So where am I going with this? Well, I want to give you a different interpretation of this parable. A lot of times in Jesus' parables, and there are some of them, the person, the father or the master is usually plays the role of God. But in this parable, Jesus is simply having the master play the role of Rome, the role of slave master, the role of the one who makes the taxes, the role of, yeah. And the first two people, the one that take and trade and multiply and grow, are the rich. It's what they do. They have money and they make more with it. I mean, this is even true today. The rich get richer. They get more. If I want to put $100 in the stock market and it grows 1,000%, that'd be the best day of my life. But what if the rich put $1,000 in? Right? So they'll always be a step ahead because they come with more. Right? And I don't want to try to blend this in with capitalistic mindset, but I just want you to see how the first two people took their 5 talents, took their 2 talents, and they multiplied it because they have, because that's what they were given. And they went that route. But the last person is the listener of the story. The last person was the disciple in front of them. The last person was the poor man. The last person was the person that the people listening could relate to and could sympathize with and could feel. The last person was the simple man. The last person was the person who comes and he says, "This is all I have." The last person was the person who says, "I'm just going to enjoy the gift that you gave me. And I'm going to bury it in the ground. And I'm going to be as smart and as wise as I can with my resources because I love you. I'm not going to gamble them. I'm just going to take care of them. And like a seed, I'm going to plant it in the ground. And when you come back, it'll all be right here, waiting for you." Yeah. That's the truth, my friends. There's no room. They don't have the same opportunities. You got to come at these parables, guys, with a mind of poverty, with a mind of brokenness, with a mind of loss. Jesus is on the side of those who are the most broken. Don't get caught up into this Western 21st century get rich or die trying capitalistic post-enlightenment mindset, guys. We're so blessed. Think of the poor in other countries. Think of the poor man, the poor woman in Central America and South America and Africa and India. This is all we have. This is our daily bread. And here it is, Master. I'll take care of it. And whenever you need, it'll be right here, waiting for you. The person listening to this story would have been so honored, and they wouldn't have interpreted the way that we do. They would have been so touched to know. And the way that the king responded, the master responded in the story would have been what the peasants were used to, you know. It would have been what's happening in their day. I can break the parable down some more. There's other layers to it, but I really want to get to the heart of the message for you. And for me, the takeaway that I want to bring you, because there's so many facets to the power of Scripture, is to truly rest and be content with what you've been given. Because when you can rest and be content in what you've been given, you'll be given more. Yeah. And it'll come from a different place. What we want to do when we're given something is we want to, I gotta grow it. I gotta build it. I gotta make it. And then we end up losing. We get desperate. We don't just want to bathe in the contentment of it all. We want to get to the next level and get to the next level and get to the next level. And what Jesus here is, and what this parable to me is saying for us today, is to rest in what you've been given, to bury it deep in your heart and find true satisfaction and contentment and fulfillment in it, to take the mindset of the poor who's so happy with what he has that he doesn't need riches and multiplications to please anybody. And what he's been given is enough. This is the daily bread. This is the woman at the well who holds the coin and says, "This is all I have." And God has some sort of way of multiplying it. This is the mustard seed that goes in the ground. It's so small, but it gets buried in the ground. It gets buried in the heart. And then it grows and it produces a tree of harvest. This only happens when we bury the truth in our heart. And the way to do that is to be content and satisfied with what we've been given right now in this life, what master, what life has dealt our way, to truly in ourself be able to say, this is my story. This is my life. These are my finances. This is my family. This is my friends. This is my community. This is my car. This is my home. And to truly in your heart just be grateful right now for it. That's the message, man, for the poor. And a lot of times the poor, it's a simple life. You don't have much. But you know what you do have? Happiness. And it's what the rich want. So I'm not in this message trying to advocate for, you know, being poor or anything like that, guys. I've been upfront that I want to be rich in my life and stuff like that, but it's about that detachment. It's about the heart. It's about the heart that possesses nothing. You can have everything, but possess nothing. Nothing owns you. It's about your validation and satisfaction and hope and truth come from a higher source. And what's been given to you is buried in your heart and you're content with it all. That for me is the parable of the talents. I know that's a different take. And I don't want to come out and say like this is the real way and this is what Jesus had on his mind. Again, there's so many facets of this parable that can apply to you at different stages of your life. But this is what it means to me right now and my understanding of the words of Jesus in this parable for his listeners. And potentially for us even now. I hope that you got something from it, my friends. And thank you for this question, brother. It's a really good one. And I'm thankful that you had me speak this teaching. So, my good friends, day 7 of questions will be tomorrow. I hope you enjoy it. I hope this was a little spiritual Sabbath for you whenever you get to hear this, and that you would use it and apply it in your life and share this message if you so feel called to do so. Until next time, my good friends, ciao.